closer.
You are listening to Two Magicians, One Mic.
Hey everybody, welcome to Two Magicians, One Mic. My name is Nick Paul, that's Robert Ramirez, and we're patiently waiting for Piff the Magic Dragon.
Don't reveal who it is.
It's going to be in the title of the episode. That's the only reason we get people to listen to this thing, is we have interesting guests.
You need to, okay, then we need to have one where it just says, featuring mystery special guest, must listen to find out. Clickbait. Oh my God, we need to start clickbaiting people in.
Podcast clickbait. That's a new thing that hasn't been done before.
No. I want to start doing that with my YouTube videos because I want to start posting more magic videos, and I want to just put meta clickbait titles for them.
What's funny is Simon talked about this when he got called back to fool us, and you know they said in the a year later or something like that. I forget when it aired. I think it was like the April Fool Us episode. It's basically they brought him back and said, "Hey, you fooled us," and he clickbaited that and said, "Only magician to ever fool Penn and Teller a year later or something like that," and he just has like a million views. It's so funny.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Oh my God, we have a special guest. Here we go. Special guest is entering the Zoom room. Oh, and there's nobody there.
It's just
an empty chair.
Wow.
What if he didn't show up?
That'd be even better. I'm so confused at what I'm looking at. So basically what we're looking at right now is just, it looks like a little theater that's ready for a holiday show.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. There's nobody there.
I don't know if he can hear us, but it still says he's connected to audio.
Oh.
Riveting content.
Yeah, I have a virtual show tomorrow. No, Thursday. I have a virtual show Thursday, but I guess it doesn't matter when you're listening. I have a virtual show coming up, mm-hmm. and we're going to premiere The Birds. I have two green cheek conures, and we're going to do the first trick ever with them, one of them. I don't know how it's going to play.
Have you trained them?
No. They're fine.
They're intelligent.
Yeah, they're fine. I've put them in this in the trick before. The load space. There we go. I've put them in the load space before, and they seem fine. But the longest we've put them in there for is like 30 seconds, maybe 45 seconds. Hopefully later on it will get to. I'm watching right now the bird put a rope around its neck. Gwen, will you? Thanophobia has the loop around its neck, around her neck.
You started talking about putting the bird in the show, and the bird starts to hang itself.
Correct. Oh my God, that is so funny. So basically, in their cage, all the toys we've taken off, like chains and stuff, and we wanted to look like one cohesive look. So they're all like the same string that we've tied in, but it's like little bows to like tie it onto the cage. And I just watched her as I said it, put her neck into the little bow and then like try to walk forward, and she was like just literally.
If there was child services for bird parents, you guys would be getting phone calls right now.
It's true. It's true. That was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Oh my God.
She literally was trying to kill herself talking about putting her in the show. Anyway, we put her in for like 45 seconds max. What I eventually want to do is, you know, she's got to be in there for like 4 minutes. It's that trick I showed you for Wilman to do, the instruction one. Yeah. But the instructions is going to be a book, and that book has a load space for the bird. So I'd put fake pages in so that I could read the instructions to the trick. And at the end, I open the book, and then there's a bird inside of it.
That's
so eventually,
should I be cutting this out of the podcast?
No, you're fine. Eventually, the bird should be fine. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, birds are safe.
Safe animals.
Safe. The animals are safe. They're not
birds
like
want to be a part of magic.
They do, especially conures love like little tight spaces and little crawl space and love crawling like that. So they're fine, but we do have to train them to be in there for that long of a time. I think a minute is like a normal. Like they're just kind of. They're kind of just like being hugged a little bit, which is fine for a minute, but I think 5 minutes will be a long time. So the way we're going to kind of try to do it is not have the bird ready and until like 30 seconds before the reveal, my fiance will load the bird and then we'll just do it.
Well, that's good. Safe.
Yeah. I don't want her also to like the bird to scream while it's inside. I don't think it will. It's not uncomfortable. She would just scream because she's like, where's my friends?
We have this little ramp that we use for our dogs for the couch because they're dachshunds and their backs are very brittle. But we discovered our one dog, Rollo, just likes to walk in there. He's blind and kind of just wanders. But he, when we can't find him, we know he's just loaded himself in this fake base. So now we're like, how do we put this in the show? And like, if people get angry at us, we're like, no, he literally just loves to hang out in there. So we can like do a revelation with him. So I look forward to live shows just so we can put that in.
Yeah, I'm ready to do a show with you again, because I want to do a trick where the audience gets to pick an animal. And then at the end, I reveal that I have a bird dressed in a lobster costume.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for ripping me off with birds.
But how funny would it be, though, if we did a show together and you do it normally with Rascal, but I also produce a bird that's dressed in a lobster costume?
That would be really – you just walk out later in the show with – what am I supposed to do with this?
Speaking of like last week's episode, what a great callback that would be in a show is to then do another animal dressed as a lobster.
Yes. How's it going, Piff? You're in the dark now, but that's okay. We don't mind. Oh, you just look like you're a really creepy Santa Claus. It's all nice and holly.
Told him
and
that
jolly.
Now he's gonna try to fix this.
Yeah, the light's gonna turn on, and now we won't be able to hear him.
I don't know how you just turned on those lights, but I thought you had like a candle because it looked like a
yeah.
Long
it's
lighter.
Because the light switch is too tall for me. So I had to pick up a pet, and not much, not. Oh.
My wife is little too, now he's readjusting his microphone to sit down.
It just has just shown us how small he is to everything around him. He had to move the mic down. He had to use an extender to turn the lights off.
You were the same size as my wife. Are you 4'11"?
I dream of 4'11". No, I'm 5'5".
Me too.
So my light and they're not that much out of my reach. So if I pick up a pair of pliers, I can turn them on. Which gotcha. Makes
why is the light switch above you? Oh, it's the little dangly clip.
No, it's just the big power bank is above. I don't know.
You need to call the hard.
Don't judge me on that.
Hardwiring guys and say, please don't put that in the roof ever again.
Well, no, because the thing is that the lights are on a totally different power circuit, so that they don't short out and lose power on everything when we have too many lights on.
Has that happened during a virtual show?
Yeah.
Good.
Which is why they're up there on a safety switch that I'm not allowed to access without assistance.
Did you ever think you'd be thinking of all these different weird scenarios to keep the show going? Because I've been doing that too, where we had a weird thing happen with Justin's show the other day where the iPad was playing music incorrectly of no reason whatsoever. So we had to quickly improvise and I had to play cues and I don't think the audience even noticed. But like, did you think you would have to adjust this new level of stress in shows?
Well, oh my God, I'm going to kill everything.
He's readjusting his microphone.
I'm going to kill everything. No, what I didn't realize was how many different points of failure it was possible to create. And with Zoom shows, it's like, I mean, there must be at least 150 different points of failure. And one of them is catastrophic. So on Saturday, we did a show and we're doing one show a week now. And that seems to be, we're getting a ton of people coming to just one show as opposed to lots of people coming to many shows. So it definitely feels like a much better way to do it. But it means you only get one chance to get it right. And one of the traps that I fall into is thinking about my show like a golf swing. Which means that, you know, most of the time, I'm not very good at golf, but I understand how you get good at golf, which is you do it a lot. And if you play golf every day, then you start hitting some nice shots, but you still get a couple of bad shots because that's just what happens. You will never, you know, otherwise Tiger Woods or whatever, otherwise everyone would be perfect. So I like doing lots of shows because it reassures me that the one or two bad shows I do will be forgotten about.
Yeah.
But that's a fallacy because you still get an audience at those bad shows who go, oh God, that dragon is is not what I'd hoped.
We thought he would be funnier.
Right. Yeah. Nice. Or at least faced in the right way. Or not on meth.
Have you guys got this? We got somebody sent a message saying that they wanted a refund because the show was the same.
Yeah.
Have you guys gotten anything like that?
Yeah, we get that. And they also thought somebody thought I'd be more charismatic. And I said, no. No, I was exactly... No, I can confirm I was as charismatic as I was.
My rule is the audience gets the same 75% of me always.
Yeah. And how's that working out?
I don't do any virtual shows now.
There we go. I mean, look, like, that's the dog's rule too, by the way. And he is getting, nothing but people accusing him of being on drugs, not being involved, not caring.
Well, he used to have that problem before, right? And so, like, I can
he's
see
never,
how
he's
is.
Never got reviews like this.
Wow. And literally nothing's changed. He still just hangs out and is there.
He does the same act he's always done. And now people are furious that he's putting no effort in. So, you know, just take that as a warning, Robert.
I like how people, like, I'm sure it's the same. Like, 98% of people coming to shows are happy, thrilled to be there. But there's, like, this weird 2% that are just demanding so much. And when they think about it, the ticket price for a family of four is so much cheaper than if, it, you know, what? I don't know what you're selling tickets for, $25, $30. But to see you live for a family of four, that's what? Easily almost $200.
But the experience is so diluted. It's sure. actually, you know, when you pay everything, it works out at like $500 in Vegas. It's crazy. But the experience on Zoom is so diluted. And so on Saturday, you know, we do the show and nobody can hear Brett for like the first. And so it got delayed by 15 minutes. And it turned out to be a piece of hardware that just gave up. It was tested before the show, you know, in the same parameters. Nothing changed from 6:45 to when it was working to 7 p.m. when it stopped working. And it absolutely stopped working. And I myself unplugged it, plugged it back in. It started working again. And you just can't. I don't really understand how we... How we do shows that work.
I don't know how.
Not even flawlessly, but
well, it
correctly.
Scares me. Like, if our hardware is falling apart for virtual shows, do you think that like 911 dispatchers have the same problem with hardware? Like, do you think there are like serious careers out there where the technology could be failing?
But that's
and, like,
we're
just experiencing
this
now.
In all of the Gulf Wars or. I don't know my history well enough for this, but they all go, you know, they all like don't have boots and things.
Yeah.
You know, they're all there in Uggs or whatever they're, you know, like, or they dream of Uggs and they're all there without food. Just like the basics.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm reading the Hamilton biography because I'm smart right now. And the colonial, like the fact that the U.S. won the colonial war is mind boggling. Like with the limited resources, like the sheer lack of numbers of humans who are able to fight the British, fighting you people, is just mind-boggling. And it's amazing. I mean, it goes back to what Robert was just saying. Like, yes, like these things, it's amazing how they all kind of add up. I lost my point. I don't know how we got on.
Well, I'm scared that like the ambulance who's taking someone who like on a breathalyzer, that hardware just goes, I'm not going to work anymore.
Yeah. You shouldn't be scared about that. You should be scared about the person operating the breathalyzer. Because my best friend growing up, he became a doctor. And so we shared an apartment throughout all of that period. And I suddenly realized that, and I worked in IT at the time. So, you know, I'd have a bad day and a computer would break. I mean, I would regularly like delete computers by accident. Kill people by accident. It just happens. Yeah. It's just that they have this day called Black Wednesday or something, which is when all of the new medics start, you know, that's their first day.
Wow.
And lots of people die that day. They just die.
Oh my God.
Because make mistakes because we're all flawed and we just assume that doctors don't, but they absolutely press the wrong button and erase people.
There's and Scrubs, they talk about that all the time. Like, there's that one character that is known for killing people, and he goes up to the head doctor, like, hey, I didn't kill anybody today. And he goes up to the kid, and, you know, they're looking at the guy who's been in the bed for 3 hours because he forgot about him. And you forget that, like, everybody's human. And I think these virtual shows are reminding us that, of just like, oh, anything can go wrong. Like, nothing is guaranteed.
Nothing. I mean, it's certainly a brand new world, and also it's done on an emerging technology. So every week Zoom is saying, hey, guess what we did, guys?
Yeah.
And you're like,
yeah.
Oh, that's nice. So, you know, and trying to pinpoint somebody's problem when they say, oh, we couldn't see the show, then you just have to take their word for it, even though they probably were looking at a fish tank.
Yeah. And when I'm stage managing, I'll get messages from people, hey, this is happening or that's happening. I'm like, definitely on your end. There's nothing I can do about it. But
right.
If it was me, if it was my show, I would just, here's a refund. I don't want to deal with the angry
person.
Well,
that's what
person.
We do.
Yeah.
I'm always so confused.
It's not worth it.
No, I mean, stuff like that. People who don't know, like, don't understand why things are going wrong. I don't know. So, like, the equivalent of this I can think of is, like, at Best Buy, I get people who go, like, does this come with the keyboard and the mouse? Does this computer come with the keyboard and mouse? And I just look at the box and I read it and I go, yes. And they go, oh, okay. They go, I could have read that, couldn't I? And I went, yeah, you could have. They went, okay.
It's or nice they say, that like, they tell you that.
Yeah, they like, at least one person did, was like, oh, I guess I could have done that. But like, they ask me questions and then they watch me look at the box. Like, what's the difference between these two things? And I'll pick both of them up and then just look at them together and go, see, this one is faster. And
find yourself doing that, being on the other side of that equation?
Well, I do. I am very good. My fiance reminded me how much research I do before I buy anything. I'll watch YouTube videos, reviews and stuff, like constantly going down rabbit holes if I'm going to purchase something. And it just blows my mind. These people walk in and just kind of go, why, what is this? Is it, what is this?
It was like that at the animal shelter too. Like, Chris and I used to volunteer at the Burbank Animal Shelter, and like, people just walk in and go, yeah, we thought about getting a dog today. Like, 15-year commitment. We're just going to waltz on in. And that's just how some people operate. It blows my mind. And
I'm surrounded by dogs right now.
Yes, you are. He's juggling three of them.
Yes, I just had a change of heart on the way in. I thought I would collect them today rather than abandon them, which is what I do at the beginning of the week. I start the week by abandoning dogs, and I end the week by adopting them.
Different dogs, so it's just a constant rotation.
It's a circle of life, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. That's the same thing with your friend. Sometimes he'd kill people, sometimes he'd save people. He just was like, how do I feel today?
You win some, you lose some.
Yeah.
Wow. Can you just like imagine being, it's like, all right, well, it's Black Wednesday. I hope I don't get sick today. Just having that information already.
Well, now I want to make sure I never get sick on a Wednesday.
Yeah, geez.
You should. I mean, I think like what we're seeing now with all this stuff is people are starting to go, this idea of like going back to normal. Well, that's contingent on a lot of elements, and one of those is vaccines. And lots of people saying, "Oh, I don't think I'm going to take a vaccine," and then other people, like my friend, he can't take a vaccine. So you know, he took a vaccine, and it like affected it like had an allergic reaction or whatever. So then the doctors were like, "You can never take a flu vaccine ever again." And this is going to be in the same category. So it's like, it's a very imperfect world that we live in. And then we're trying to apply this perfection to it. And which is a long-winded answer of saying, no, you can't have your $25 back. That's the email that I send out. It's a 19 page email. It's an ebook. I send out an ebook.
That's so good. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be just so wonderful for somebody to read that whole thing, and then you just get to that last sentence, no.
And this is why I'm saying no.
Yeah. Well, you see that, like, that's the one thing, when you work on certain cruise lines and certain cruise ships, you just see people going, like, I'm just baffled. Like, how did you get to this point? How did you make it this far in your life that you are on this cruise ship? Of just, like, simple questions. I mean, it's the whole tourism industry, I guess, but certain people just are oblivious, and they kind of wander through life that way. And in many ways, I'm jealous of that, because I don't think they have any real troubles. You know?
I think you definitely wouldn't be happier. I feel like I don't. Yeah, I feel the same way, where you're just kind of confused in how you've made it this far. Like, how have you made it this far, where you always have to just ask questions to somebody for information because you just don't want to go through the trouble or like the necessary means to get that information.
Yeah.
Well, it is
often quicker to, because the flip side is that if you spend, like, I go down rabbit holes, and like, if I find 3 1-star reviews on a product, even if there are 57,000 good reviews, even if I order that product, I'll have that niggling doubts about those 3 bad reviews.
See, I think those bad reviews are from the people who don't look up reviews. So they just get it and they don't know how to use it. And they're like, well, this bar of soap didn't work for some reason. It broke when I dropped it. You shouldn't drop anything that's going to break.
Reviews are 5-star Yelp. It's all terrible. I hate it. And we've talked about this before on the podcast, but if you have never seen Anthony Bourdain's rant about Yelp and how it's the death of the restaurant industry,
well, we just got TripAdvisor'd. You know, they
changed all that too, right? Did you guys have any issues? Because I had a friend who has a theater in Texas who was at the top of TripAdvisor, and then they changed their algorithm, and now suddenly they're at the bottom for no reason of their own, even though they had all 5 stars.
I have to appeal, because, you know, we opened in Vegas, we opened the show for 5 weeks, because they said you could do shows to 250 people. That wasn't quite true, because you can only buy a certain number of tickets. So you could only buy 2 tickets or 4 tickets. You couldn't buy 1, 3, 5 or any other number apart from 2 and 4.
Weird.
So if 3 of you wanted to see the show, you'd have to buy 4 tickets and sit with an empty seat.
Okay.
So that didn't go down well with many people. Also,
I want airlines to start doing that too. You want 3 people? You got to buy 4.
Well, I had this whole speech, like, and one of the lines was, you know, 224 people, that's not too bad. We'll put them in the front. We'll pack them in like they were sat in the airline on the way here.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the casino's like, no, Piff, you got to spread them out 6 feet apart each. They could, you know, at least I'll be able to hear them laugh. No, Piff, they got to wear masks at all time. They look at you like a room full of hostages. And it's like this, all these rules that we had to follow, which the casino have been, what do you call it when you're told to do something?
Very adamant about you having to.
No, the rules have been put on the casino, and the casino are passing on the rules. So the casino is like, yeah, we don't understand it either. And they don't seem to be, some of them make sense, and some of them you're like, how is this keeping anyone safe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if we're going to do that, then, you know, what this rule seems to undo the safety of that rule. And it's a whole hot mess. But people were furious. It's like that classic thing of like knocking a couple of stars off because the parking was bad. We just got absolutely killed on TripAdvisor. It's like everything's 1 star, 1 star, 1 star, 1 star. And I'm like, hey guys, that's not cool.
Yeah, because you guys you were taking a risk at the beginning, and you know, like, this is a new world, so that's and they're playing by the old rules, so that makes zero sense.
Yeah, it's like, hey guys, we're doing the best we can with this situation. And TripAdvisor's answer has historically been, and hopefully it'll change, well, you know, this is the customer's opinion and free speech.
Yeah, well, it's that American thing of the customer's always right. And the rest of the world's like, no, they're not. But it's this weird thing Americans have adapted to and just kind of accept. Robert and I did a socially distant show at a theater in September. You know,
how was that?
It was great. But it still took, we did 4 shows total, I think. And I think it wasn't until our last show that I felt comfortable.
Yeah.
And I can imagine it would be the same with
you. You mean comfortable on stage or safe or actually just, safe?
No, I never felt unsafe because they had air filters and people spread out. And it was out of a 250 seat theater, we had max 40 tickets and they sold out every show.
Oh my
but,
God.
You know, quote unquote sold out.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, it wasn't until the fourth one that, you know, Rob and I were both like, it's okay. You all can react because you're not jumbled together. It doesn't mean that you can't not react. I think people, it's that comedy club mentality. Unless they're squished together, they're not. I think they still feel like they're at home watching something on television.
Yeah, because that being spread out makes it feel like no one's really a part. It doesn't feel like a unified crowd kind of watching, experience something together, that they're all experiencing something at the same time. It just felt like, oh, I'm choosing to watch this. And for some reason, someone's 6 feet away from me also watching this.
Yeah,
so did feel weird.
There's nothing worse than seeing an unsuccessful performer or show or anything that is not successful. There's nothing worse than that. So when you're coming to see these shows and you're spread out like this, you go, oh God, this guy's not doing well. And yeah. I'm like, no, I'm selling the maximum amount of tickets available. Couldn't be doing better.
Yeah. No matter what, it looks like you failed. Even if with like you have quote unquote sold out the max amount.
Right.
On the website, it clearly says sold out, but people get there and go, oh, this poor guy.
Even if you're doing your hour long show 25 times a day, you're still up against it. But I've stopped going out now generally, because even when we were, you know, going to a restaurant, like one of our favorite restaurants that was taking all the precautions and we were taking all the precautions, you go in there and it was so depressing to see a business you loved just like getting driven into the ground and hemorrhaging money. And being full of ungrateful patrons who are now, there's just no pleasing anyone. So
yeah, that's the problem. It feels like it's like the same people who would complain about parking are the people who are going, well, why do I have to wear this mask, or why do I have to stand here, or why is there a gap that I like? They're now complaining about the things that are going to keep them safe, and in turn making it, you know, the establishment's fault.
Right. And also, there is no like guarantee of, there's never has been a guarantee of safety. I don't understand this thing where people are like, well, you know, I've got to stay safe. It's like, you can try and stay safe, but if you have to stay safe, stay indoors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can't come out of your house and expect, I mean, you could be run over by a bus.
It's the abstinence of COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting how that's, I mean, things are spiking now, and I hope that doesn't get worse. It's projected to, but it really is. We all kind of have to make a choice mentally, and I guess I've shifted a little bit in the past week or so because we still want to plan to go home, you know, in a very small capacity, just staying with our in-laws. We want to fly home in 2 weeks, and so now I'm looking at the world differently. But I've made that choice of, okay, I'm not going to go out to grocery stores. I'm going to really limit my interaction with people just so I can go home. But I think if you've made that decision to come see a show or come to a restaurant, you just need to know what the limitations are now and what's being put in place, so, you know, you can quote unquote be safe, I guess.
I think we're just up against this crunch now of clearly people are not prepared to shut down and to go into a full scale lockdown.
Yeah. And you see that here in LA, where on Monday we were told that back stay at home, and it looks exactly the same outside. Like you would have no clue that there's a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's going to get to a sticky situation where people are, where it just, something has to give at some point.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, I think it's
positive.
Also, I don't want to go negative. Go.
No, I'll just say on a positive note, like you have a Christmas show. Do you have Christmas shows this whole month, or is you just doing one, this coming Saturday?
For virtual shows.
That's what I meant, virtual, yeah.
Oh, I thought we were talking about something positive. No, we're doing one holiday show every Saturday in December at the moment.
Gotcha. Okay, so I'll release this the episodes normally come out Monday, but I'll release this Friday so people can hopefully get some tickets to that. It's so funny how you had me on your podcast a couple months ago, and I was the one who was just done with virtual shows. I don't know if you remember that conversation, but I was like, I'm done. I'm not doing anymore.
I was done with them from day one, but there's no other option.
Yeah. I thought you guys were having fun with it, though, or at least somewhat enjoying it.
When they work, I have a great time, and people love the show, but it's incredibly frustrating when, for some reason, one of the 150 things breaks.
Yeah.
And the whole, you know, I mean, it's like if I went on stage every night and occasionally, well, it's not even occasion. It's like regularly the stage would be bulldozed by one of 150 different reasons.
Yeah.
You know, you just get tired of going out there going, oh, I can't wait for the show. And then suddenly an asteroid hits the Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's also probably one of those things where, like, because it's a new medium, you can find ways of being more creative or, like, taking advantage of this medium. But the, like, other side of the coin of that is, like, it's just going to fall apart. And it won't even work.
That's the problem I'm running into too, where it's like I'm trying to add in more videos and, you know, fun elements. And now I'm just like, I just want my camera to work and my microphone to work. And the only bonus now is that my iPad occasionally plays music and reactions. Like, I just want those three things to be my focus, because it seems like if you add more to that, and I have like videos and stuff ready to go, but if you have more to that, it's just another thing, another domino that's going to fall apart eventually or possibly not work.
Yeah. I mean, I think what we love is the creativity of it. What I love is the creativity of it, of going, it's essentially like an interactive TV show, like an interactive game show. And it's really good fun to do. But when it doesn't work, it's just like, oh my God. And then the other thing is that those simple things that that were the foundations of everything I've done, which is being able to react in time with people and not have that half a second delay, which ruins everything. I mean, I when I opened for Mumford & Sons, the first gig that I did was in an arena, and my ears, you know, I had like in-ear monitors like I do now, and I would speak and I would get an echo back in my ear half a second later, and I couldn't do the show. You know, it just like threw me off completely, because every time I'd say something, I'd hear it come back. And so, you know, you're like, we're just destroying everything that, you know, I've built my...
It's all the skills you've learned.
All the skills, exactly. So we're having to relearn all this stuff. Plus you go, like Nick says, you go, oh, hey, like we have overlays and we have blue screen. That's why I'm sat with a blue screen behind me. And when that stuff works, it looks great. And everything we have is built to be, you know, broadcast quality and everything. It should all work. And then when it just dies for whatever reason, it's like, oh my God.
It feels like we're not adapting our skills. It feels like you have to learn completely new skills, especially when it comes to like comedy, like timing in particular. Oh, yeah. We're not adapting, you know, comedic timing so that it works now. It's like, well, we have to redefine what is virtual show. What is like one second delay comedy now?
I think that's so true. And also we have to go, hey, it used to be my job was to learn how to be funny on stage and do a stage show. But now it's like, I've got to do that. I've got to do a virtual show. I've got to like make funny TikToks, but they can't look too produced. Then I've got to do funny Instagrams. Now those have to look great. You know, Facebook,
I love the rules.
And it's just all of these different platforms. It's a night. It's not fun anymore.
I think we should have realized when NBC couldn't do a live musical without any flaws that there was no way we were going to be able to do this.
And when you have the Emmys, you know, when you're watching the Emmys and
stuff's falling apart.
Brad Pitt has forgotten to unmute his microphone. You're like, all right, it's not on me, guys.
Yeah, it's you. I think everybody. When things do go back to somewhat whatever normal is next year, actors, perform, everybody's going to have so much more respect for tech crew. And also, like, just you, it now makes sense why television studios have a whole team of people working cameras and switchers and lights.
Well, even people who gaff tape, just gaffers. People are just going to gaff them because, like, nobody else has time to do it. Like, you need someone just to do that. The funny story of, like, sound of, like, live award shows that fail all the time is the Tony Awards always have sound issues. constantly, like a mic will be dead or something. And the reason someone told me is because all the people who are nominated for best sound are sitting in the audience.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's so true. And it's like, and not only, you know, look, I mean, I did it. Well, the first show I did in Vegas, every night I would have sound troubles with my mic, you know, and now I've got one person doing five jobs. And, you know, we're all stuck in this thing. Like, I mean, it's just, I really don't know whether it's like, we should just have stopped working. And the whole year, the whole world should have gone, listen, let's just stay indoors 6 weeks. A lot of us will die still, you know, because you can't stay indoors for 6 weeks and have everyone not die. So some people are still going to die, but at least we'll come out of it with a new world. Whereas this thing now is just like, oh, it's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things of like, we did a joke on the Shed show, like our first episode, Taylor and I did this silly virtual streaming show, and we had a cook from the Food Network on, and we just did this gag of like food you can make each week into quarantine. And then we got to week four and he's like, wait, you think this is gonna go to week four? And we thought that joke was hilarious in March, and now December, it's like, oh, if only everybody could kind of look back and go, no, why don't we all take this a little bit more seriously up top? Why don't we stop questioning and maybe we'll get through it quicker. But
well, Penn and I are always incredibly pessimistic about everything. So, you know, I mean, when it looked like when Trump started running for office and then it started picking up the pace, I was like, oh, he's just going to get in. This is going to happen. And with this stuff in January, I was saying to everyone, hey, guys, this virus is going to shut down America. And then in February, I was like, seriously, it's going to shut down America. And everyone was just laughing at me. And then it shut down America. And then
tell me
I'm like,
gonna, tell me I'm going to make $1 million this year. Tell me.
I can't. That's the problem.
No, say it. Everything's coming true. You have to say it now.
You think if I had those powers, I would be sat here talking to you two?
Yes.
And it looks like, and you know, Penn and I got together and we were like, oh God, we're so used to being the Nostradamus and the pessimist. And now it's true, and this is no fun. You know, I thought there would be a certain satisfaction in being correct. I don't know why. Honestly, I don't know why I wasn't helping by saying, oh, this is going to shut down America. Mm-hmm. It's like, I might as well have just enjoyed those last few weeks of bliss in ignorance.
Yeah,
you know, pretending that everything was fine.
The idea of being correct is not as good as you think it is. I've learned that in my marriage.
Yeah, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy?
Yeah, Mike Birbiglia has a whole show on this. He's like, I learned the importance of just keeping your mouth shut and going, yeah, okay, I know I'm right, but it's okay, get over it.
Yeah. But now Jay can pick up those thoughts in me.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, well, that's the thing. When you're with your partner that long, of course, Kristen can look at me by just a face I'm making, and she'll know exactly what I'm thinking.
Yeah. I try to vary it up. I try to do random things. I try to throw something or bake something weird that
you just flip
has
your
no
couch
idea.
For no reason. Yeah.
Yeah. I move the furniture around. Gwen comes home. She's like, she's trying to keep her on her toes.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Looked at me with the most like, not evil look, but just like, stop talking, Robert kind of look.
I remember. You know what that look is. See, they've been together that long.
You know, like I grew up in the UK and there was like a certain breed of magicians who are like natural show-offs and they're kind of always on and always performing. And I knew this guy and he would introduce his wife. He'd say, this is my first wife, whatever her name was. And he said, I call her my first wife to keep her on her toes. Jesus, and I was like, oh, Christ. God, what a lucky lady.
Yeah. Oh,
horrible.
My goodness. What a terrible.
Imagine hearing that every day. You just be like, oh, wow. What a charmer.
Yep. Yep. Oh, man, I'm so glad for those people to stop working. oh, dear. Well, Robert has to go to his real job. Right. Piff, where can people get tickets to your Christmas shows?
How many people are listening to this?
Hey, we get thousands of downloads a week.
Do you?
Well, all that matters right now is that I'm listening and I'm definitely going to watch the show.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
So you got one.
He's going to buy a ticket and then he's going to demand a refund.
Yeah,
he's
right.
Seen the show.
I'm going to send you an email. I'm going to send you an ebook.
I want to put some new material in this week. I'm going to have to.
Yeah. And you said, I was reading your newsletter. You're like, a lot of it's the same, but a lot of it's new stuff. That's just how this works.
Yeah. No, but I'm going to, I think I'm going to change the whole end this week.
Oh, cool. That's so, I've been changing stuff in my show, and it's terrifying because on top of the new material, you're also like, oh crap, I hope all the tech doesn't go wrong. Like what
well,
we
that's
were talking
why it's
about.
So bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I was
that's
having a fever
so
dream about
in,
it last night.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've
well,
I've
if you got,
before.
You know what? That's why I always say if I got to do a trick that has no tech, I do Asus Front presented by the Magic Apple and
wow,
Robert.
Wow. You, where can you purchase that, Robert?
At themagicapple.com.
What's Asus Front? I don't know what this is.
You should send Piff
send,
one, and
I
then you
I'll
get
you
a quote. It's a trick he just came out with Jim Steinmeier, and it's good. But
is it?
You
it's
can
a good
get
virtual
it at the
show
only at the Magic Apple exclusively right now.
Anyway, you can go to piffthemagicdragon.com, or you can go to seepifflive.com, watchpiff.com, paperpiff.com, onlydragons.com, howtobookyourdragon.com.
I forgot that you owned all. We talked about this before. Yeah. I forgot you owned all. It's brilliant. I need to own more domains like this.
That's amazing.
That way, nobody, you can never get screwed over with somebody who has a domain and a dragon in it.
No.
Sue him.
Well, that's great. I'm glad we ended on something positive because
well,
most of this conversation
for
was
having
pretty
me.
Depressing.
Thanks
should,
for having
I want to do
me.
This again. Piff yourself. We don't know each other.
Yes.
But it's been wonderful talking to you.
Well, thanks for talking to me, too. I mean, this is what, you know, this is what is going to cause society to end, us living in our little homes and never speaking.
Yep.
So we do need to make sure we all keep talking.
Yeah,
that's good. Fun. Thanks, everybody. Have a nice week. Buy tickets to Piff's show.
Thanks so much for listening to the show. Please give us 5 stars on Apple Podcast. If you really like the show, you can donate a few bucks a month on our website, twomagiciansonemike.com, or become a monthly subscriber through our Patreon link. Thanks to all the people that support the show and keep it up and running. Be sure to follow us on the interwebs at @twomagiciansonemike. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great week.